Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go on a busy Wednesday. Boy, what a guest list we have today live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Today is Wednesday. Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Be a sub above. God, looks like Brady, the Tampa Bay, got everybody signed. Ndamukong Suh is going to sign. Donovan Smith just signed. Everybody. It is amazing about how the cap works. Chicago doesn't pay their quarterback anything, and they had to let go of their best corner. Tampa, let's keep. We have an all-star team. Bring them all in.
People that know how to manipulate that cap are there can't be many of them, because it's certain teams that seem to figure this out every single year.
Saints.
And you're like, we all are working with the same numbers, right? Like the Rams, you guys all have to use the same numbers. How do you guys have all these players and nobody else? Players. Some teams can't sign another extension. It's wild.
Green Bay couldn't keep a Pro Bowl center.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they only pay like two guys. It's amazing. And one of those guys is Aaron Rodgers. So I am a big believer in fit. Okay, so Joy and I have bounced around in our careers a lot. And one of the reasons I came to Fox, I thought it was a better fit for me than ESPN. ESPN was very corporate, very Disney, very Lion King, very safe. And I'm kind of a letter rip guy and big opinions, and I have a lot of things I'm doing on the side. And Fox is like, yeah, do your stuff, whatever you want to do, start companies, whatever. And I just thought it was a better fit. Doesn't mean it's a better company, but I do think fit is really important. And I've always said, Aaron Rodgers is a weird fit in Green Bay. So Aaron Rodgers, last year, Green Bay drafts a quarterback in the first round. Translation, we're going to move on here pretty quick. Then Aaron comes out and crushes it, MVP numbers. Aaron's like, you love me, right? See, I'm good. No, we're still moving on. According to a story yesterday, Green Bay paid Rodgers a $7 million roster bonus. They did not convert it to a signing bonus. Colin, what does that mean? It's confusing. What it means is they can move off Aaron sooner. So they didn't convert it to a signing bonus, meaning they're looking to move off him pretty quick. Now, that sounds counterintuitive, right? Why would you move off? Never forget this. When Green Bay moved off Brett Favre, go look it up. He had just had his best year in a decade. He was a Pro Bowler. They were at 13-3. He got him to an NFC championship, and he was 6 months older than Aaron Rodgers is today. That was Brett Favre wasn't falling apart. He had just had a great year. They had just gone 13-3. He had just made the Pro Bowl. He had just cranked up a great year, and they moved off him. Why? Because they saw him as expensive and a star that was increasingly needy. That's kind of what Green Bay sees. It's funny how it lands. So Green Bay has always been about development. We all know this. This is not new. It's very small. It's the smallest sports town in America. It's got that Midwestern small town ethos. They're almost cynical about money and stardom. They're kind of cynical, right? Like when the Wisconsin Badgers hired, you know, Bo Ryan, the basketball coach, they hired him from right down the road. And they didn't go for big stars. They had all the money. Wisconsin had all the money. If you go look at the history of Wisconsin football in the last 20 years, they make a ton of money. It's one of the most lucrative athletic departments in the country. They never hire a big star as a coach. They never do. They're cynical of the big money. Not that it's jaded. That's just the way Wisconsin is. They got their cheese. They got their Packers. We don't need outsiders. We're homegrown. We develop. It's Midwest. It's our ethos. And here's rock star Brett Favre and rock star Aaron Rodgers. So they draft Jordan Love, obviously. You don't draft a quarterback first round, not play him. It'd be just a total waste of draft pick. But it's funny how it lands. It's a weird fit between Aaron and the Packers. And if you read this story, basically, you know, they don't want to offend Aaron, but they're structuring this contract to move off it sooner than later. And it's interesting how it lands. For Aaron Rodgers, whenever you get in an argument with your wife or your husband, the first thing a psychologist taught me this years ago, he said, well, just make sure it lands for her like it lands for you. You may have an argument. It doesn't necessarily land the same way. Arguments don't. So for Aaron Rodgers, here's how the current situation lands. You can't get many good players. For Green Bay, here's how it lands. Well, we would like to get you more, but you're too expensive, and you're getting older, and you're kind of needy. And both could be right. Aaron can't get more stars. That's why when they play Tampa this year and go 0-2, it looks like Tampa has far more good players. Brady takes a pay cut. That's why when they played San Francisco a couple years ago and Garoppolo wasn't making a fortune, it looked like San Francisco had way more good players. So how does it land? For Aaron Rodgers, this whole thing lands like, you can't get me more good players. You can't even keep my center. You couldn't keep Jared Cook. I can't get J.J. Watt. And for Green Bay, they look at it and think, dude, we're building this developmental roster, making fifth rounders Pro Bowlers. We would love to get you more players, but you cost us almost $35 million a year. We're doing our part. You're not sacrificing. We're not going out and overspending and making it easy and getting free agents. We're not cherry picking like the Giants, Adoree Jackson and Kenny Galladay, or like the Jets, Carl Lawson and Corey Davis. We don't do that. So we have to sacrifice in Green Bay. We are sacrificing Aaron all the time. It's a small town. This is our ethos. We have to draft and develop. And you, who are a big contract guy, are getting in our way. And so, I mean, it's... You know, Tom Brady's cap hit this year is $28 million less than Aaron Rodgers. That's why they have an all-star team. So this whole thing is very interesting to me, is that when they moved off Brett Favre, he had Aaron Rodgers. He was 13-3. He would just turned 38. He was a Pro Bowler. He had his best year in a decade, just like Aaron did. And they just said, you're expensive and you're needy. And the whole thing in Green Bay is they look to develop. It's almost a college team. And they look like, well, we developed Favre. He was lost in Atlanta, kind of a mess personally. And we developed Aaron Rodgers, who had to go to a junior college. And now a Jordan Love from Utah State. This is what we do. We develop. We don't get the big free agents, Aaron. And now you're really expensive. And we're doing the best we can, but we can't get great players now. Maybe the conference championship, that's what we can do. Because Green Bay's not stupid. They know the more you pay a quarterback, the less you can win. Can't win Super Bowls with an expensive quarterback. Doesn't happen. Hasn't happened in years. Hasn't happened in 15 years. Very funny. So just look at the story today on Aaron Rodgers. They, not real subtle, it looks like they're giving him bonuses because they don't want to get trapped in 2 to 3 years with Aaron's contract. So this is funny. So the Bucs are going to now sign Ndamukong Suh. And now yesterday, Donovan Smith reached an agreement, $32 million contract for their left tackle. So they have now signed Chris Godwin, franchised him, Donovan Smith, Shaq Barrett, Levante David, Rob Gronkowski, Ryan Suckup, a kicker, and now Ndamukong Suh is going to get $9 million a year. This is the most talented team Tom Brady's ever played on. Go look at mock drafts. Every other team in the NFL is drafting for need. Even the well-run teams, like the Colts, need a speed receiver. The Chiefs need an interior offensive lineman or a tackle. Everybody's drafting for need except Tampa. They're just drafting for depth. Literally, people are like, they're going to take an interior defensive lineman. Well, they have Ndamukong Suh. Well, they need a linebacker in case Levante David doesn't sign the way he did. Well, outside, pass rusher, Shaq Barrett signed too, and Donovan Smith. If you go back to the 2007 Patriots, that Randy Moss team that went undefeated, they had 8 Pro Bowlers, 3 on the offensive line. Now, they had Randy Moss, but that wide receiving core is not close to Tampa's. They had Mike Vrabel, but that linebacking core in New England is not close to as athletic as Tampa's. Well, they had Vince Wilfork, they did, but this defensive line is far greater as a unit than that defensive line. The only area that New England team is better than the Tampa team is offensive line, and I would make a strong argument that the offensive line for Tampa in the last 2 months was unbelievable. Ali Marpet is a top 3 guard in the league. Ryan Jensen's a top 6 to 7 center. Tristan Wirfs, right tackle, looks like a Pro Bowler. That's the weak spot of Tampa. This is the best team Tom Brady's ever played on. They are literally drafting for depth. And don't forget this. They got really good after the bye. And I kind of look at Tampa as two seasons. There was the Tom gets signed, no preseason, a lot of turbulence, kind of trying to fit Arians offense with Brady's offense. And we all watched it on television. It was bumpy. They got crushed by the Saints twice. They got beat by the Bears. They're yelling at each other. It's a lot of ugliness. Then the bye hit. They got 10 days of practice. They sewed it together. And from that point on, 8-0, and the average score was 34-19, and it was the number one offense in the NFL. They are literally drafting for depth. That is it. So that bye was like their preseason. It's incredible right now. Their sack differential after the bye was number one. Their wins were number one. Their points were number one. Their point differential was number one. Their turnover differential was number two. That's the team coming back for preseason next year. That's the team entering this season. This team is so stacked. And I will say this. The other break they get is the Saints will be worse. Drew Brees is gone. They had to shave cap. Green Bay could not take their Pro Bowl center, could not get him or J.J. Watt. Probably not quite as good on the offensive line. They do a good job in Green Bay to develop offensive lines, but probably won't be as good as when you lose the best center in the game or the second best center, you're probably not going to be as good. Seattle's been noisy as heck. Dallas still can't figure out their defense. I mean, this is the best team they've ever been on. They're going to re-sign Ndamukong Suh. And Donovan Smith got $31 million. They are completely stacked. I mean, the weakness on this team last year was offensive line. It was dominant in the end of the year and secondary, mostly because it was young. Also, this is a franchise that drafts incredibly well, so you might as well put three or four more really talented guys on this roster. Wow.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
In the NFL, how you score, it doesn't really matter. If you get into the end zone, makes you happy with your fantasy team. Doesn't matter that Derrick Henry runs one way and Aaron Jones the other. They both get into the end zone. Okay, they're both really good players. It just doesn't really matter in terms of how you get there. Brady's never been the most dynamic player, but he's the best quarterback. But in the NBA, it's different. How you score is going to get you the shoe deal. How you score is how the league is going to put you on television. Karl Malone was boring. Sean Kemp was riveting. So Sean Kemp became a big star. And I had personal demons, but like 80% of Karl Malone's points were free throws or a boring pick and roll. Same with John Stockton. Isaiah Thomas was much more clever. Magic, the big smile. So if you look at the history of the NBA, who the biggest stars have been, it's not always been the best players. It's how they score. Magic Johnson was so unique. Larry Bird was the best shooting, best passing forward in the history of the game when he arrived. Then it was Michael, who was glamorous and good-looking and cool. There's been a lot of great players. Shaq, Steph Curry, you become the face of the league. That's what Zion Williamson has. Giannis, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, they'll give you a quiet 26. Zion's is a loud 25. It is memorable. It is Sean Kemp. It is loud. And right now, last night, they beat the Lakers. Zion's great. Do you know through 65 games in the last 40 years, the only player that scored more points was Michael Jordan? He's literally getting into Wilt and Michael Jordan territory. And right now, through 65 games, he has more points than LeBron did through 65 games. He's got more rebounds than LeBron did through 65 games. He's got a higher field goal percentage than LeBron did. He's got a higher three-point percentage than LeBron did. And LeBron was pretty good. LeBron dropped 40 multiple times in his rookie year. So the way you play in the NBA will determine a lot. It's not like that in soccer. It's not like that in baseball. Nobody cares. Get guys out, win 20 games, you win a Cy Young. But basketball is not. How do you score? And frankly, Zion, to me, now that LeBron's out for a month, he's the number one TV product. It's Steph and him. Those are the guys I rush to a TV to watch. And there is a – you get power, you get strength, you get forcefulness, you get all these really important things all jammed into one. Had Sean Kemp had a better personal life, Sean Kemp would have been a massive NBA star for 20 years. But he had his, you know, personal foibles, and, you know, don't we all? But when I watch Zion, I mean, his critics now look ridiculous. He is just must-see television. He is the face of the league that LeBron's hurt. It's nothing against Giannis or AD or Chris Paul. It's nothing against these guys. They're all great players, or Kawhi. But they're not necessarily great television products. And that, in more than any league, that matters.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Nick Wright, co-host First Things First, now joining me as he does every Wednesday. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So the Aaron Rodgers story today is pretty interesting, is that without confusing the audience, they basically gave him a check, and they didn't want to rework it for cap space, meaning we drafted a quarterback, and, you know, they don't want to offend Aaron. But I was saying this, people forget that when the Packers moved off Favre, they were 13-3. They got to an NFC championship. He had his best year in a decade, and he was a Pro Bowler. That Green Bay is almost cynical toward money and stardom. That's not what they do. They develop players. They take great – it's the Midwest small-town ethos. You're a Midwest guy, and Kansas City thinks that. Green Bay doubles and triples down on it. And I look at it, and I think, it's not hard to figure out here. They're moving off Aaron fairly quickly. This is not a real debate, right?
Yeah, and that's why, despite nearly 30 uninterrupted years of Favre and Rodgers, they have been to 3 Super Bowls and 1-2. Because they have squandered, and all they have been more worried about staying good than being great. And Rodgers is going to continue to feel, call it anxious, if not a little paranoid, but it's not paranoid if they're actually out to get you, as long as Jordan Love's on that roster, Colin. And so, listen, if I were advising Brian Gutekunst, I would say, listen, man, maybe Jordan Love's going to be the next Aaron Rodgers, but more likely than not, he's just going to bounce around the league as a fringe starter. That's usually what happens with late first-round pick quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So here's what you should do. You should trade him to a team like, I don't know, Atlanta for their second-round pick. You should use your first-round pick and trade for Odell Beckham Jr. You should go out in free agency and, I don't know, bring back a guy like Casey Hayward, who you probably never should have let go to the Chargers. And you should go all in right now, because you're 26-6 the last 2 years. You're in back-to-back NFC championship games, and you're very close. And it is over. Staying good is overrated, and being great for a short period of time is underrated. Your beloved Tampa Bay Bucks understand that. They are mortgaging all of the mid-2020s for the right now, as they should. The Packers need to take a page out of that book, Colin.
I was saying this to start the show, is that I follow mock drafts. Everybody's into something, right? And I follow them. Tampa's the only team that is not addressing a need. They're literally drafting for depth. People are like, well, defensive line, if Ndamukong Suh doesn't come back, oh, he is. I mean, literally, they're just drafting for depth, maybe a running back. I said this morning, the only New England team close to this was 2007. They had 8 Pro Bowlers, but 3 on the offensive line. This is the most talented team Brady's ever played on. I mean, I honestly think that this morning.
I understand why you think that. I also think we are being a little reactionary to the Super Bowl as opposed to the entirety of Tampa's playoff run, where they were up 5 points against Washington in the fourth quarter, and Washington had the football against Taylor Heinicke before Heinicke got hurt. They were, in my opinion, struggling mightily against the Saints until Drew Brees really, unfortunately, in the final half of his career, melted down. And the Packers had every opportunity to beat them. I respect and appreciate what Tampa's doing. I think they're doing the right thing. I think they should be doubling down. But I also think you are relying on a lot of older and aging players, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, to get through another year as healthy as they did last year. I know Vita Vea got hurt, and have the same level of production. So I'm not criticizing their offseason, but I think Tampa's going to go into the year big-time favorites to get back to and win the Super Bowl, and that's not a bet I'm willing to make, even though as we sit here right now at the end of March, they do look loaded. And I've got to give Jason Light, their GM, credit. I didn't think they'd ever be able to keep all their top free agents, and they've kept all their top free agents, and we'll see if they're interested in keeping AB.
You know, we were saying this, that every year in the draft, there is a player in the NFL draft that just doesn't look like a college player. Chase Young, just draft him. Quentin Nelson, you can't draft a guard that high. He's the best guard in the league by a second year. Kyle Pitts at Florida. Zion was like that. Zion didn't look like a college athlete. Zion, you know, in the NBA, most college kids come in, they get thinner because the travel, the sleep, they're struggling to keep weight on young players. Zion looks like he's been in an NBA weight room for 15 years. Are you even a little surprised at how dominant a scorer he's become?
I'm a little, listen, you and I were as high on Zion as anybody, as any two people in America. You and I both said when he was at Duke, he right at Duke was a top 25 NBA player. Yeah. He just wasn't in the NBA yet. And, pardon me, folks were worried about his weight. They were worried about all this foolishness. And it's like, well, he's just stronger and can jump higher than anybody I've ever seen. And that seems to be useful in the NBA. I think he's going to be okay. What I am surprised about is that he is scoring at this level at 60% from the field. We've never, and by the way, the biggest criticism with the Pelicans, and I like Stan Van Gundy, but they need to have, and Brandon Ingram had a really good game last night. I think he had 36. It was a good revenge game for him against the Lakers. But they need to have a come to Jesus moment and make sure Brandon Ingram knows this ain't your team, man. Because I'm sick, honestly, I'm sick of seeing Zion Williamson went 9 for 13. He needs to be going 12 for 21. He so many times you look at the box score, it's like, oh, Zion had 26 points on 11 shots. And so I'm a little surprised they're not letting things run through him more often.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons that they've had some late game failures. And I'm also a little surprised that nobody has been able to slow him down. Like, I thought he'd be a 20-point-a-game guy immediately. I didn't think it would be at what is record-breaking efficiency.
Yeah. So LeBron's second big injury in 3 years. He is older. Maybe it's just a coincidence. But I've seen this before. He does now. He doesn't have quite the stamina. The bubble was great for him, 4.5 months off. He looked like a completely different player defensively in the bubble last year. He was more rested. He's human. What do you make of the injury? Where does it sit with you? Is it the sign of age that Brady hasn't quite shown yet?
Oh, if it would have been another soft tissue injury like the groin, then I'd walk down that path with you more readily. This to me was, you know, a guy rolls into his leg, you look at it, and I think, and Brandon Marshall said this on Monday, and he's right, I think for most guys, this is a torn ACL. If you look at how his knee flexes, I think LeBron was pretty lucky to get out of this with just a high ankle sprain. What it means for the Lakers is, when he comes back, they're going to be in 7th or 8th place.
Right.
And I don't know how much they care about standings. They won the title last year with zero home games, so I don't think they have to worry about not having home court. But they are going to have to grind at the end of the year, because until AD comes back, with no LeBron and no AD, that's a bad roster. But Colin, can I just throw something at you? Because I think you'll enjoy. Because you saw what happened after he got hurt, right?
Right.
So he gets hurt, and he has 7 points. At that point, he had scored 10 points in 1,035 consecutive games, longest streak in NBA history by a mile. They call timeout to take him out. And methinks LeBron knew he had 7 points and said, guys, I think I got one more shot in me. Because he went back in the game, hit his one and only shot, a corner three, to get to 10 points. Then they called another timeout, and now he's out a month. So I'm not saying that was a higher degree of difficulty and more clutch shot than Jordan's against Utah All I am saying is that was game six that Jordan did his. They were going to have a game seven even if he missed. LeBron was going to be, it was the streak over. He's been working on the streak since 2007, and he nails it. So I'm just saying, just add that to the little legacy bar. He suffers his second injury ever, has the self-awareness, I need to hit a three to get to 10 points. I can do that even though I basically have a broken leg. It's like Tiger at the Masters. Broken leg, still can do it.
I won't make that leap, but I think it is a fascinating point made by Nick Wright.
It's what people are saying. I'm hearing it. It's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing it's more. It's like the Ray Allen shot, the Michael Jordan shot, and LeBron's three in the corner against the Hawks in the second quarter in March. I think that's the list.
All right. If that's how it lands for you, it makes me happy. Nick Wright, first things first. Pleasure to see you, buddy. I do appreciate it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
I think about that when I think why Alabama quarterbacks don't work. Tua and A.J. McCarron. Jalen Hurts was not considered a pro prospect when he was at Alabama. Now he is out of Oklahoma. But here's a great example. This is why all these great quarterbacks who sign with these Ohio States and these USCs and these Alabamas don't become great pros, because it's not a real experience. You don't have to overcome. Think about this. Here's the colleges of the eight division winners, quarterbacks, last year. For my radio audience, Wyoming, Miami of Ohio, Texas Tech, Old Dominion, Cal, Texas A&M, Purdue, and Wisconsin. Not exactly football powers. Texas A&M thinks they are. They're not. Wisconsin's good, not great. That is where all, by the way, the Cal guy went to a junior college. The Texas A&M guy started as a wide receiver. Okay? That's not random. That's not unique. That's the way the league works. Is if Dak Prescott, go back Mississippi State, terrible offensive line, got the crap beat out of him for multiple years at Matt Ryan, no NFL players. Phillip Rivers, NC State. So when I look at Mac Jones, never trailed in the second half of any game this year. Wide receivers, three of them, pro players. Offensive line, best in the sport. I remember when Matt Leinart came out of USC, and he stayed in an extra year. And a lot of people criticized him. They're like, oh, my God, well, why wouldn't you come out? And you're giving up money you could never get back. And I remember talking about this on the air at the other place. I was like, I think he's got a better life. Like, USC was so dominant, he rarely got hit. He was the big man on campus. There was no pro NFL team in town. I'm like, yeah, I get why he comes back. He's living the life. Great-looking kid, dominating college football, cover of magazines. Like, why go out a year early to a terrible team? Go enjoy your college experience. Like, I get it. When you play quarterback at Alabama, it's a very enjoyable experience. You always lead. You always have the best coach. You always have the best or second-best offensive line. You never trail. There's rare crises. I don't think that's the way you get ready for the NFL. I just don't think it is. I think Drew Brees was overlooked, and Tom Brady had to sit on the bench. And it just, I mean, the last quarterback who was like a blue blood that worked was Peyton Manning. Great in high school, great in college, great in the NFL. Like, yeah, it was all perfect. We knew he was going to be great, and he's great. I mean, Cam Newton went to Ben Junior College down in the South. That's just the way it works. So I do have my questions with Mac Jones. Now, again, if he goes and gets Kyle Shanahan, all bets are off. Or he gets Belichick, all bets are off. We know that he's going to have good offensive lines with those two coaches. But I do think there is something to be said for struggling early in your life and it being of great advantage later in life. And I know, as a parent, I'm always like, oh, I want my kids to have a better life than I did. And I think they do. But I don't want them to turn every corner, have crown molding and granite countertops. I'm not buying you a new car. I'm going to buy a used car. And you're going to have to go to the shop and take yourself there. And your first apartment complex out of college should not be beautiful. Mine wasn't. It's like, take out your own garbage. It should, I don't think grooving somebody's life, in the moment it feels great, but it doesn't set you up for the hardships of life. And I don't think it sets you up for what the NFL is. The NFL is hard. It is hard. It's hard on a good team. I mean, Brady's screaming at people in New England, get open. In Alabama, everybody's always wide open.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marion, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marion. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you can get your podcast.
He's coached 45 years at Syracuse and they've never had a losing season, which doesn't even sound right. Jim Boeheim's a legend, 4.5 decades of winning. He's joining us live. They play this weekend against Houston, Saturday. So here's one of the things I like. I like guys that get a little older and they adapt. And your team shoots a ton of threes, and you could have easily said, hey, I'm going to play my defense. I'm going to do what I do. I'm not going to go to threes. And you just went all in on threes. And when was the moment you decided, I got to change my coaching offensively?
You know, we've been using more threes, but we have three really good shooters this year. So we started out shooting a lot of them. The problem was we were shooting them, but we weren't making them. So, you know, it was a struggle. And then as we got a little longer into the season, guys got healthier. The COVID pauses hurt us a little bit, but we started to make shots. And, you know, you're a lot better coach, Colin, when that ball goes in the basket. We're running the same plays, shooting the same shots, but it's going in the basket. And it's good to be with you, too. I haven't talked to you in a while, and I keep seeing you picking against us, so I think that's a good sign. You know, I think that's a good sign when you pick against us.
Hey, your son is a great shooter. Now, he's a better shooter than Dad was. Let's be honest, he shoots the ball better than you did.
Yes, absolutely. He's not a better player, but he's getting close.
That is funny. So, you know, it's interesting. I grew up college basketball, Syracuse, Georgetown, the Big East, the ACC. The best team I've seen so far in the tournament is little old Gonzaga. You know Mark Few. He's one of your friends. Oh, yeah. How are they the best team in the country out of Spokane?
You know, the best advice I ever gave anybody in coaching was when Mark was, you know, obviously doing very well 5, 6, 7 years ago, and we go on a Nike trip together, and I told him, I said, look, you got one of the best jobs in the country. Don't leave it for what looks like a bigger job. And, you know, Mark figured it out on his own that he had a good job. And now he's actually at a place that will attract a guy like Jalen Suggs, that will attract a big name recruit. And that's not bad. And he can fish out the back door of his house up there, which I've been fishing with him a couple times. Without a doubt, he's the best trout fisherman in college basketball coaching. It is not even close.
By the way, you've played different teams. You just played West Virginia, and Huggins is a hell of a coach, and they trap, and they're difficult. So you're having to play different styles. This is an interesting year where Gonzaga looks like the best offensive team. Baylor's a good defensive team. Everybody else to me, Jim, looks close. I can't pick the games this year. I've never seen a year where it's more smushed together.
It's better for the fans because anything can happen. Now Oregon State has proven that, Oral Roberts, us to some extent. I think there's a little bit of separation between Gonzaga and then Baylor, probably close to them. But I think really when you watch right now, I think Michigan's still pretty good. If they had the kid that's out, Livers, I think they'd be right in that conversation. But they're still very good because the kid transfer from our league, Wake Forest Brown, is really good. So I like them. But the team that's impressed me the most in the tournament is Loyola of Chicago.
Yeah, they're tough. Physical.
I think Illinois was the second best team coming into this tournament. And they didn't just beat Illinois. It was an easy game. It was really not much of a contest game for Loyola. So they've been very impressive in this tournament. And obviously Oregon and USC. I mean, the West Coast has really stepped up. And anybody that doubted them early in the year, they they've been proven wrong. That's the great thing about this tournament. Sometimes when you're in a league and you're just beating up teams in your league, it doesn't necessarily mean your league's all that good. It just means that you got a lot of teams that are good and they're beating each other, but you have to wait until you get in this tournament, and then you see how leagues do. And, the Pac-12 has obviously been the surprise league by far. It's not even close. So it's hard to evaluate. I've been evaluating players and teams my whole life, and I laugh a little bit when – when the evaluators out there are saying this league is so much better than this league, and you really can't tell until you get in the tournament and you play other teams. During the year, especially this year, you're just beating your own teams.
Right.
So that doesn't mean your league's that good. It just means you're good in your league.
By the way, they'll face Houston, a team that doesn't have a huge brand but is very good. You are 45 years, no losing seasons. You've coached NBA players. You still have great energy. When will Jim Boeheim know, hey, it's time for somebody else, I'm done? When will you know? The car drive home, the epiphany, the moment. When will you know, hey, I've done it blank years, I'm done?
I'm coaching until I can't win anymore. I've said that for 10 or 15 years. I remember my AD a long time ago, I was 60, said, well, you're going to get out pretty soon, aren't you? I mean, I think I was 58. And I said, well, no, I'm not really thinking about that. And I'm not thinking about it now. If we can win, I feel great. Do a little work. A little Pilates has been good for me, a little swimming. But I'm going to coach. I mean, Warren Buffett still goes to work every day, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he's, what, 90? All he does is, talk to people. All I do is talk to people. That's all I do. I don't have to get out and dig any holes, ditches, or, run. I don't have to run up and down the court. So if I can keep winning, keep getting good players to come to Syracuse, I feel like I'll coach for a while.
You still like?
I really do.
I got a minute left. Do you like recruiting still?
Yeah, recruiting's not bad. You meet a lot of good people, and I haven't had – you have a couple of bad experiences, but no, overall, I learned a long time ago, if you don't have good players, you won't be in this business very long. So if you don't get out and recruit, you're not going to be in this business very long.
Yeah, it's what the late Jerry Tarkanian once told me. He said, everybody complains about recruiting. He goes, I go to steak for free and have a couple beers on the university. He's like, it's not that bad. I got to be honest with you. It's not a terrible living.
He was a great guy to listen to for advice, the Tark. There's not many like him. I went out to dinner with him in Vegas once. He drove in, parked on the sidewalk in front of the restaurant in Las Vegas, left his car there, keys in the car, went inside, ate, whatever, left, said thank you to everybody, left, got in his car, and drove home. And, he took a to-go order from a five-star restaurant.
Jim Boeheim, they play. That's funny. All right. When you get out to L.A., you could say hi once in a while and, would we take you to dinner and hang out with you a little bit? I'm not a bad guy to hang out with. So you're out here.
I'm coming this summer. My son's going to work out there and, get faster and stronger. So I'm coming out. When I'm out there, I'll definitely call you and I'd be happy. I know you're not going to take me to dinner, but I'll take you to dinner.
That's right. Syracuse and Houston Saturday. One of the good guys, Jim Boeheim. Jim, great seeing you, coach.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.